I thought in my lifetime we'd be establishing a base on the moon maybe by now. And certainly, even though I might not be alive when we landed on Mars, I'd be watching Crew's train and the rockets being built. And of course, you can see none of that is happening.
No, we're not living in the future envisioned by astronaut Alan Bean back in 1969. In November of that year, he became the fourth human being to walk on the moon. Today, to mark the 45th anniversary of the first moon landing, Alan Bean recalled how his mission, Apollo 12, almost ended in disaster moments after launch. Captain Alan Bean is our Sunday conversation.
Well, we had a storm rolling in. We were sitting in inside our spacecraft, Pete Conrad, Dick Gordon, and I. We were thinking, let's launch. We knew that if we didn't launch within just about 3 or 4 hours, you had to wait a whole month. So we wanted to go, and we didn't think much about launching during a storm because we had never trained for that and thought about it that much. People just assumed we wouldn't. And so we counted down, we launched. Everything was going great for almost the first minute, and then we were struck by lightning 2 times. We didn't know we were struck by lightning. In the cockpit, we got all sorts of warning lights, lost the electrical power from our fuel cells. We were trying to solve the problem. Mission control, they got a report from the launch site that they saw a big lightning bolt come out of a cloud and hit the launch pad. And they said, those guys got struck by lightning.
Got a good S2, Dave.
Roger, we copy, Pete. You're looking good.
Good staging and good thrust on the second stage.
We've had a problem here. I don't know what happened.
You know, we were trying to figure out what to do. They were trying to figure out what to do. And working together, we solved the problem.
Okay, I have a good TDC, and Al has got the fuel cells back on, and we'll be working on our AC buses.
Can you describe what you felt, heard, and saw when you left Earth's orbit?
Well, once again, we're wanting to go to the moon. We've done one revolution around the Earth where we got our computer ready to guide the rocket towards the moon, and we were ready to go, and we were just thinking, okay, we know that we've been hit by lightning. Mission control is going to have to make a decision on whether to launch us to the moon or not. They apparently talked it over at the highest levels and decided, well, if it did do something wrong to the spacecraft, like the parachute system or something like that, if we had them in or now, they'd get killed earlier than if we sent them to the moon and let them do whatever else they're doing there, and then come back 10 days later. And if their parachutes don't work then, well, I guess they don't. At least they've had 10 days and a great adventure.
Well, did that mean then, just skipping ahead for a moment, when you were going through reentry, were you scared about those parachutes opening?
We thought about it. I would have to say I didn't think about it one time between headed to the moon and about an hour prior to entry. And we're going through all the checklists, getting in position to make the entry and all that other. And I think either Pete, Dick, or I said, well, I wonder how those parachutes are doing. And then someone else said, maybe me or Pete or Dick said, well, we'll find out in about 55 minutes. And that was it. Nobody was afraid. Nobody was anything. It was just part of the way of life of being an astronaut. If you couldn't have that attitude, you couldn't do the job. So it was okay. Whatever it was okay.
Now, can you recapture that moment for us, Captain Bean, when you climbed through the door, down the ladder, onto the moon?
I would say I had zero philosophical thoughts at that time. I was operating on a time checklist, as we'd been trained to do, to try to maximize every really minute on the moon. It's, you know, no telling what that cost per minute to be on the moon. Millions and millions of dollars. So you wanted to make every one of them productive. And the only time I thought, wow, this is the moon up there, way above us there, 240,000 miles away is the Earth, was when I was running from exploration site to the next one. Because there you're just running along, going to the next place you want to investigate, and you can have a time to think. And I can remember, it was hard for me to believe. I would look down and say, this is the moon, this is the moon. Then I would look up and say, that's the Earth, in my head. So It was science fiction to us, even as we were doing it.
You've had a post-astronaut career as an artist. Could you talk about how you use moon dust in your paintings?
I had the good fortune and the gift to be one of the 12 men to walk on the moon, and my hobby has been, since I was a test pilot, painting. Maybe if I learned to paint well enough, I don't know if I could, but maybe if I did, then I could leave behind when I'm gone stories that would be lost to history forever, images of things that we did that were, at least I thought, were interesting, stories that not only I knew, but other astronauts knew. So that was my decision to, you know, say, I love being an astronaut. I've been training to do this my whole life, but I really have a responsibility to go to do this other job, which I then have been doing for the last 33 years or so. But each painting does have moon dust in it.
Astronaut, artist, and moonwalker Captain Alan Bean, it's been an honor to speak with you. Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.
And if you want to hear about that peculiar way Captain Bean works the moon dust into his paintings, take a listen at npr.org.